The GAA program with Tom Comack is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Get behind Donegal in 2017 and gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Gee, if I could fall to good, you and Clark, I'm a Luke Taskale, and a shock to the show. Me, Tom Comack, with you as usual on the Wednesday night. And, well, stay with us until 9 o'clock because we've got another bumper show lined up for you. And, well, joining me on tonight's programme are Brian McAniff and Brendan Devaney to discuss, I suppose, the big story of the week. That is the resignation earlier this week of Donegal manager Rory Gallagher. We'll get Brian and Brendan's thoughts on that and indeed discuss what now for Donegal. We'll also, I suppose, reflect on the weekend's action that thought Kerry booked their place in an All-Ireland semi-final, but they're going to have to wait for their opponents in that semi-final because Roscommon and Mayo drew in the second quarter final in Croke Park last Sunday, and of course Monaghan and Armagh have come through the qualifiers and they've qualified for this weekend's last of the quarter finals in the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. Armagh take on neighbours Tyrone in a local derby clash, and Dublin, of course, they're in All-Ireland champions. They entertain in Monaghan. That Mayo Roscommon game is on this weekend as well. We've got hurling action as well, but it's that with that big story we start with, the totally unexpected and surprise resignation of Rory Gallagher just 1 year into his term, and about somewhat 9 days after Donegal's heavy 15-point defeat to Galway in the All-Ireland qualifiers. Brendan and Brian, first of all, a good night to you and welcome to once again to the GAA programme.
Good talking to you, Tom and Brendan.
And I know, Brendan, we had you last weekend, yourself and Manus Boyle here. You were expecting Rory Gallagher to stay on. You actually endorsed him and said he should. He had been doing a good job. Were you surprised at the news on Monday night?
I might have went as far, Tom, to say he's doing a good job. the summer might tell you something different. But I thought, Tom, that because of what he'd given to Donegal football this last, you know, 5 years, 6 years, whatever, and being an integral part of a very successful setup, he took the reins in. And I just felt if he walked away now, it was such a bad vein he left in. I thought if he could have attempted to do, a Roscommon on it, and as he did the year before, went at it too hard in the league, bombed the championship. If we did something similar to it, and he had done the championship and got a bit of fire out of this new team, and, you know, who knows, look at Armagh this year, you know, should it be a run in the back door or put it up to the likes of a Tyrone, at least give them a game. I think then if he had stepped away after that, it would have been better for him personally, because I think, you know, when you think when Rory left Donegal or left Jim, his stock was pretty high. A lot of people talking about him, that he was kind of a bit of a tactical brain and behind it there. He was certainly well got as a coach by the lads. So you think that where he is now, presuming the GAA world, you know, things have really gone wrong for him. And I thought if he could have salvaged something from that, I'd have preferred him to see him do that next year, and if so be it, then step away.
Is it his fault that things have gone wrong for him? I suppose the manager's carried the book, but maybe are there other things in the background that's maybe happening? Or,
well, obviously, Tom, the 9 players retiring or leaving for whatever reason last year is massive, and once he was given that 4-year term, Tom, everybody was like, right, he's the man now, it's going to get us through a transition. So this thing of where it's got to now, it does surprise me a bit, because everybody was sitting, right, we're in transition. But then I think what happened in the league was, with us playing such good football and obviously being maybe a bit fitter and sharper than everybody else, a lot of people got excited about the summer. And then when you go to championship games and take such a tank and look at, you know, people were like, what happened? And obviously we got our season badly mixed up. And once they won't beat us, the Galway thing was only, I didn't expect them to do it now, but it was inevitable it was going to happen. So I think then for the criticism to go so harsh at him then, I think what happened to him was in the background, a lot of people were saying that the two Ulster finals that we lost, you know, were very close affairs, and people then began to scrutinise him. You know, there was a kick of ball between them. Of course, then you look to reasons why you lost them, and some people pointed the finger. So I think there was a wee bit of a background thing saying that, you know, were we tactically right completely in the day, and some people maybe pointed the finger, but certainly there wasn't that much noise. But this year, it really cranked up the gears, and the two heavy defeats, you know, led the All Swords going on completely out of order for an amateur game, and a man giving up a massive amount of time, not just this year, but previous years. And I thought that was out of order. And don't get me wrong, Tom, I would have criticised him in terms of some of the stuff last year, particularly in the Dublin game, to be matchups and tactics. I couldn't understand some of it, but I still wouldn't go as far as ever criticise any GAA man that's willing to take a team and put that type of time in. I think that's completely out of order. And you're on about looking to the next man. I would say who would want a county job now, because it looks like without success, you're in real trouble and all aspects of your life are going to be affected.
Brian McAniff, Brian, what's your initial reaction?
Well, Tom, I didn't expect that he was going to walk away from us. You know, I thought he would have done at least, it was Brandon said, a year, possibly two. You know, he would be familiar with the lads he had blooded. He has another seven games in the National League, four, naturally enough, away from home, which leaves it quite difficult. But their home record in the National League is quite good. So if you can amass 6 points and possibly stealing away a win, you know, it could leave you in Division 1. But it's not to be all and end all to be in Division 1, because Division 2 is very, very strong currently. But there's an air of expectation in Donegal, maybe that's a wee bit beyond itself at the minute, given the young lads that are out there. And, you know, when you measure them up even against Galway that day in the Markovich Park, in the middle of third of the pitch, we just didn't have the physical presence there to compete with them. And the same thing with Tyrone, like you had Matty Donnelly playing midfield, but Colm Cavanagh, like Colm Cavanagh is a 6'5" man and he's 29 years of age. Matty Donnelly's 26 and he's a solid man, and we had two young lads. Now when Michael Murphy was out in the middle of the field, we were definitely in the game both against Tyrone and against Galway. But when Michael Murphy faded, because Michael is trying to do too much and he's expecting too much from himself, but when he fades, we go out of the game, as we did against good teams. Now, against Antrim, it wasn't. Antrim are a poor side, Tom. But I thought he would have stayed on. He has a fair bit of knowledge garnered for his years with Jim McGuinness, and he's been around quite a bit in football, and I thought maybe he should have given us another 2 years, because he had a three-year term. But that's his own call, and I'm sorry. I thought that it was probably a lot of the abuse that he took that maybe caused him to walk, but he's put
that to bed, really, in his statement, hasn't he?
That he has, and you know, I can understand that, but at the same time, no more than Brendan there. It's not fair, and it's not part of the GAA ethic that sort of abuse that a man has to take, you know. But it's only a certain few that do that, but faceless people as well, Tom, you know, that engage in that sort of stuff, and it has to be wiped out. And you know, like,
tell me, Brian, tell me, are we putting too much into this thing of being in Division One, and is it too big? Is it a case that we don't have the strength and depth maybe to go at it flat out all year, that we need to pace ourselves?
Well, there's nothing that'll bring us on quicker, Tom, than good playing against good teams and good venues, good referees and everything, good crowds, and that'll bring the players on quicker than playing in Division 2. There's no point in saying that's not. The quality of football would be quite good in Division 2, but I think it would have brought our lads on greatly this year. This will be their second year going in as well, though, that six or seven players that he blooded last year, and he could introduce another two or three. But what I would suggest, one was suggesting before Rory went away, was that it was a young McGinley lad, but he's not young, he's mid-20s there, and there's a Walsh lad from Allen, and
Declan Walsh and Kieran McGinley.
Kieran McGinley, and I would still be looking for the lentiest man, Leo McLoone, there, because there's a bit of power. And getting Oran McNeilish back, I was watching Sky Television with Donegal in Dublin 2014, and he had an outstanding game, Oran McNeilish, and here we are 3 years on, he's not playing at all. And I get that level of lad in there that's probably more physically strong than the young lads that are coming through at the moment. But Donegal's in a good place, Tom. There's no point in saying it's not in a good place. It's only going to take a
month. Hard to convince people that after watching them against Tyrone and Galway, Brian.
Well, don't forget, I spent a wee while with Louth, and I remember playing. We were in Division 2 at the time, and I remember Mickey Hart was in Division 2 at that time. People are inclined to forget about that, Tom. They're after winning three All-Irons and all of a sudden they find themselves in Division 2. So, you know, the stock of players, when they start to leave the panels, it's not easy to replace them. Savage amount of players last year.
Think the outcome of the Galway-Kerry game influence Rory in any way, or was it?
I don't think so, Tom. I'd say Rory always has his own mind on those things. So Rory was always a good player himself, and I gather he was a very good coach. But, you know, there's also the management situation, and, you know, you have to put all that together. But you need a good management team. And I don't know, you know, at this point in time, I haven't even started to consider who might or might not be putting their hand up to take the post. But you need a very strong management team going back in there.
You better start considering, because we're going to be asking you in a wee while. Thought that we should listen to Clark and Luke last year in a shock on the show. That's the voice of Brian McNiff. And before that, you heard Brendan Devaney, of course, former Donegal star, former compromise rules player under Brian McNiff. And of course, did play for under Brian as well. So it's kind of master and pupil here tonight. We're discussing the departure of Rory Gallagher.
The GAA programme with Tom Comack is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny. Get behind Donegal in 2017 and gear up for the big games at michaelmurphysports.ie.
Roger Ash, because you and Clark come a new class again, a Shachtan Shaw. I'm in the company tonight of Brian McAniff and Brendan Devaney. We're discussing the departure of Rory Gallagher, the Donegal manager, earlier this week. Rory surprisingly announced his intention announced that he was retiring from the position 1 year into a 4 year contract. Remember, he had renegotiated last year for 4 years, but he's gone after one, feeling that he's taken Donegal as far as he can at this stage. And he also ruled out, we mentioned it earlier, there was quite a lot of criticism and a lot of very, very nasty personal criticism on social media last week, but he ruled that out of the reason for his departure earlier in his statement yesterday. So that isn't the reason. He's doing it for his own reasons, and he feels it's the best thing for himself at this time. We hope to maybe speak to Rory next week on the programme. But back to you, Brian, for a moment. Rory, as I said, he was there for, 3 years with Jim McGuinness. He spent a year with Maxi Curran with the under-21s, and of course the last three as Donegal manager. Does he leave a legacy?
Oh yes, he's done very, very well actually during his term in Donegal. For that, we must be very thankful. He's given 6 years of his life. His life, you know, I know from mates last term in management was about 37 hours a week, and I think the ante has gone up since that, and he's taken that from his business and from his family, Tom, and some of the time people are inclined to forget that, but he owes Donegal nothing. In fact, we owe a debt of gratitude to him for the years he's done there with us, and he there would be those that would say that had he been there in 2014, he would have been a big addition to Jim in that game that we lost against Kerry. But you know, he served us very, very well for us 3 years as a team manager as well.
And Brendan, himself and Jim were a good team.
Yeah, certainly. And you know, Jim, I suppose there was that bit of acrimonious fallout, and we've heard different whispers about what happened in it. And at that point, I suppose, you know, it was 2013, and Donegal maybe needed a wee bit of a change, and I suppose Jim managed to get them back into the All-Ireland final next year, because at that stage, I say, Tom, earlier, you know, a lot of people were saying, was Rory pulling a lot of the tactical strings? You hear a lot of rumours in the background, but certainly the players thought he was a great coach. He'd be quite, you know, have a presence with him, you know. I suppose Jim was the same. They had a real presence around there, and I can imagine the two of them must have been a great double act back then. And as Brian says, you know, we can't forget the part that he played in those Ulster titles and All-Ireland winners and All-Ireland, you know, preparing the guys and what he did and the time was put on, because as we know, things have just ratcheted up, and that's the thing, I suppose, that annoys me most about this now. It's as if that's all forgotten about, and he's just been examined on this now, and the knives have come out, and, you know, as we're saying, Donegal certainly are in a transition, and I can understand now that the four-year term, that's a long term, you know, to give a manager that's just had a couple of years. So obviously everybody was happy with things, and it's amazing how bad it's gone so quickly, Tom. It's left us all a wee bit, yeah, you know, but searching for what's next.
But nobody in officialdom, or, you know, none of you or yourself or Brian or any columnist or, you know, yourself or Manus on here last week certainly weren't calling for his head or said that he should go. You know, the general of people in the know and the genuine supporters are quite saddened that he's gone.
Yeah, Tom, that's what I was saying. People were saying last week, or people put up the question to me on at the start of the week there, and saying should he stay and all, and I was putting the question to them, well, what's in it for him, what's in it for Rory Gallagher, You know, if you think about this, as I was saying before, we've all lived our lives, we've still got to do our jobs, and our families and that's out there. Maybe Rory, you know, would have a tough skin, no doubt, but then he's thinking, well, maybe someone in his family's reading stuff or hearing stuff, or, you know, is it affecting things that are to do with his business life or things like that? All that, to me, is completely unacceptable. Sport has to be sport, and that's where it has to be. And if things get a bit personal or start to come across in your life, cut it. And I think that's what Roy said was fair enough. Even if I do come back and steady the ship, who am I steadying for, to keep those nasty mouths shut? He's probably thought, you know what, enough's enough. I want to get on with my life. So we got to respect that decision. But definitely, Tom, we have to think back and, as you say, thank him for the part that he played and the brilliant few years that we had.
Are we willing, or do we put in enough resources into teams to qualify to compete? You know, you hear of Dublin players and obviously the big finance that's behind them. And I heard last week on national radio that they get three meals a day delivered to them and all that type of stuff. You know, are we in that ballpark, or are we ever going to get into that ballpark?
You would need a good delivery service, say, from Malin. They've been going all round to Glencoe. I'll tell you.
It's a job for somebody, all right.
We need a chopper, right, Tom? But, you know...
But that's the level it's got to.
Well, to match yourself up against Dublin, Tom, nobody can do it. Like, maybe Kerry, maybe Mayo, they're big counties, the resources, the business benefit from it. I think it's poured in it. One of them things that's got into GA now, which probably wouldn't have been there. I mean, Brian could talk you through it from a long, long time ago. Everybody had a bag of footballs and had a pitch, and that was basically it. And, you know, there was no difference between anybody except for your size of population. You might get a twist from that. But now, the kind of sports science that's gone into it, and the preparation and the ability to help lads and work and, you know, cars and all the rest of it, certainly is a plus. But, I mean, are you asking, can Donegal compete with that? Sure, Tom. I mean, they have done. I mean, they've put it up to Dublin. I mean, we all remember 2014. You know, the lads weren't underfed that day. And certainly, I think from an underage perspective, we've had some brilliant underage teams coming through, Tom. And they've been looking at their heroes from 2012. And we've probably got a bit of a twist off that as well. So I think you just got to make best do with what you had, Tom. But certainly, we've had some great underage coming through there. So I think that's a fairly healthy side of things.
Seamus Sweeney here, Tom. Listen to you. Sad to hear what's going on. I think Seamus, I'm not sure if Seamus is at home or he's still in New York, but I believe that Matty McLennan, the current Cavan manager, would be ideal for Donegal. He would have a better pick of players than he has the current team in Cavan. It would be very important that he would include some of the Donegal legends from 92, either Noel Hegarty or Tony Boyle, in the backroom team to keep the link strong. The likes of Bonner, McHugh, etc. have had their chances and they did not succeed. Well, I suppose both Martin McHugh and Declan Bonner Martin would argue that he never got his chance, but that he had success with Cavan, and in the case of Declan, he's had quite a lot of underage success with Donegal, especially at this group of players. He's won a minor title and an Ulster title, and was the first ever Donegal minor manager to get a team to an All-Ireland final. Brendan, I know you came out during the week with Oisin Kelly on Sport yesterday morning, and you named your colours to the mast. Declan Bonner's the man for you.
Aye, well, Tom, I suppose if you're looking at candidates, there are some outside shots. You know, if you're looking at people who've mentioned the likes of Pete McGrath or Matty McLennan, you know, outside lads, you fellas that have done, like Gary, Glenn Swilly, Gary McDade, and the likes of, say, Cahill Corey has been thrown in there, you know, for work that he did. All club stuff. I mean, Declan has county experience, and obviously he went straight into the job. And, you know, that's a tough thing to do back in the day. Like, it was his first job, was Donegal. I think things have moved on. You know, it's a different world now. But certainly Declan has that passion for it. The fact that he's been involved in so much football down through the years, you know, I often looked at him there. He was chairman and playing and getting involved.
Played last weekend, I seen, as well, for the club.
Yeah, same as Brian there, for example. Brian never lost that appetite for it, and that's what kept drawing him back and kept, you know, making him a great manager. And that, I think Declan, the fact that he's back there now and he's had all these lads, I mean, you think about it, we're talking to him, if the likes of, you know, Neil McGee has mentioned retiring, you know, Frank and McGlynn Lacey, you know, even Paddy McGrath, there's been rumours of it too. You'd only have McBertie and Murphy from your All-Ireland one team. So all those other players, the majority of them Declan's worked with and got the best of. So even that there would be a massive plus point. I don't see anybody else coming close to him in terms of, you know, being the best man for the job. And anyway, Tom, if Bono wasn't there, you know, you're really taking a pot shot on somebody else. And you got to take travel and that and it as well, and who they're going to come with and that. So there isn't that many options. And I think what Declan has coming for me puts him far ahead of the rest.
Tom, it should be either Declan Bono or James Horan for the Mayo, from Mayo. He is also a great manager. I go to every Donegal game, winter or summer. Them young players are great. With the right manager, they would do much better than that. That's from Malcolm. And Malcolm has been texting us, as have all the other texters, on 086 60 25,000. And if you want to text us, you're very quiet and dreary in Tyrone tonight as well. If you want to text us from the north of Ireland, it's 0035386 60 25,000. And Brian McKinniff, before we go to Brian, actually, no disrespect to Rory, that's another text in here on 086 60 25,000, but Donegal should have won another two Ulster titles. Mm. And I suppose you could argue that maybe they should have won one, another one under Jim McGuinness as well. Brian, you heard Brendan there. I know you said that you weren't sure about who was the man for the job, but Brendan nailing one of your all 92 pupils to the mast.
Oh, well, Declan would obviously be a front runner, Tom, you know, and what he's going to need is a very, very strong management team along with him, because it's distinct from the minors. It's a big step up to seniors. Now, he's been there on that post. He was quite young when he initially took that post. He has experience among the younger set of players. There's no doubt he's managed them at under minors and under 21s. And what I'd like to see is the under 20 team for next year and the senior team all training together, Tom. I would say that in advance. I would have intended to say that if Rory had stayed on, you know. Because I feel that that's very, very important. Because
that was an issue last year and for the last couple of years with the under 21s.
I mentioned it in the panel, in my paper, on two occasions, and that's not a thing going forward. But obviously, he's the choice at the moment, really. There's no one else stepping up to the plate. I think James Horan now, and he done well with Mayo. I don't think he could bring an awful lot extra to the table now over what Declan would have. And it's nice to have someone from home as well.
What about Pete McGrath?
I don't think so, Tom, to be honest, which, and I'm a very personal friend of Pete. I don't think Pete would bring to Donegal what we
he's won two All-Irelands without it down. And
I appreciate that, Tom. It's just like saying to me, do you think I should go back, you know?
I forgot to ask you, what are your intentions?
Mike Mullen had on the 92s, WhatsApp, that I should be going back, and all the players seem to row in. No. You know, there comes a time, you know, and I think that it's time for really, at this stage for Declan, you know, I don't see anyone else on the horizon.
Anyway, Brendan and Brian, just moving on, All-Ireland quarter-finals this weekend. And Tasty want to get them on their way, Brian, Tyrone and Armagh.
Tyrone and Armagh has definitely lit up the championship this year, and I think that against Tyrone now next Sunday, you'd have a feisty affair in Croke Park, no one McGeaney. But I think that Tyrone, by and large, from what we've seen to date, will have a wee bit too much for them. There's still that question mark over the Tyrone's potential in the forward line to score goals. They can win matches, you know, but I think overall that Tyrone will have just too much for Armagh in this particular game.
Brian or Brendan, how do you see that going? That's Tyrone. Are you surprised at Armagh there?
No, I've been at a couple of games this year. They've serious power. They're kind of bringing Gaelic back. A lot of players get kind of light and very athletic there, and Armagh have turned it a bit in the bowl at the beginning of the season. They are a powerful, hard-hitting team. You know, you've seen the performances of Donoghue last day. Grimley, brilliant midfield, and of course Jamie Clark back his best. Obviously they have the unsettled Tyrone. That defensive shape that Tyrone does works so well at Clonus, but as we've seen with teams coming to Croke Park, there's going to be spaces. Now for me, if I was Armagh, just play Katie first half and wait, because and come with something in the second half, it'll unhinge Tyrone, because if it goes on to be a normal tactical battle, Tyrone will definitely open them up, hit them on the counter attack and wear them down. Armagh have to come with a bit of a, I think, smash and grab, hit a purple patch in the second half, maybe hit a goal and a couple of points, and you've seen the fanatical support, and it's very interesting, Tom. You've seen the crowd the last day. That's a team that's been down. You've seen the buzz from the supporters. It was fantastic to see, and Armagh coming back. Nothing to lose. I'm looking forward to it, but they're definitely going to have to rattle Tyrone, I think, with a bit of high ball and a bit of hard hitting. But I would keep it for the second half, because that's a cute Tyrone team, and they'll figure you out if you go at it with that tactic in the first half.
Nobody has mentioned Charlie McKeever, who had great success with Clonmel. Yeah, and indeed with Tipperary Miners as well, led them to an All-Ireland and a couple of Munster titles. Of course, Charlie, former Clonmel player, and of course, former Finn Harps manager as well. And I think he won an FAI Cup with Sligo Rovers many years ago. But Charlie is down in Clonmel. Declan Boner's had a chance. Malachy O'Rourke will be available next week. What about that, Brian? Dublin versus Monaghan. Malachy O'Rourke's Monaghan. A big, big challenge for Monaghan.
I think Monaghan have gone back, Tom, and Big Wiley at full back is definitely struggling. The downfall forward has took him to the cleaners in the last couple of weeks, and I would fear for them going into Croke Park next week. A wee bit of Monaghan blood as well, just Tyrone, but I can't see Monaghan lasting in Croke Park next Sunday at all against the Dubs.
And Brendan, how do you make of Monaghan's chances, or are Dublin still the team for you?
Listen, I don't think Dublin's unbeatable. Nobody ever is. I mean, as we say, we turned it over in the four. And the fact that they're not getting a proper challenge, there's certainly a good Monaghan, tough Monaghan Ulster team could have put them on. We've seen them do it then before in Croke Park, be it big league games or that, you know. They have the players to do it, but as Brian said, they're just not firing on all cylinders this year, and it's such a pity. That was a Monaghan team from a few years ago. They could really ask some serious questions of Dublin. As it stands, this Dublin conveyor belt of talent just seems to be never-ending, Tom, and I just, no matter what, they're going to outscore Monaghan.
And tell me, Brendan, the replay on Monday, Roscommon and Mayo.
Yeah, stage is set. I mean, what do you say? You can't figure out Mayo, Tom. You'll be shouting for your homeboys, of course. And I think that Roscommon have obviously learned more from it in terms of playing on Croke Park. They know they can match up for Mayo. You just got the sense, Tom, the more the game wore on, Mayo just looked the more comfortable. And let's be honest, shot a load of ways at the end when it was in the melting pot. Roscommon struggling to get the ball forward at all. You just think that throughout their squad, they have that extra wee bit of power. And that's just a wee bit too much for Roscommon. I don't think still there'll be much in it. Roscommon are going to be looking to get goals. If they get them, they'll make a good game of it. If they don't, I think Mayo will start to take control later on in the second half and run out winners.
And Brian McInniff, will leave the final word to you. Very short. How do you see that goal, Roscommon?
I kind of fancy Mayo, Tom, but unless Roscommon can do what has the potentiality to do is open up defences to score goals, but they need to score three goals to win on Monday, and I can't see that.
Anyway, Brendan and Brian, thank you indeed as always for joining us. Very interesting comments, and that's about it from me, from Brian McInniff, from Brendan Devaney, from Jimmy Stafford on sound, and especially for you, those of you who listened and those of you who texted us and kept us busy on the text machine tonight. Because Ian Shockton, the Huggins, Slán agus Bannock.